Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
Well, I was killing time waiting for a large file to download very slowly on my dial-up connection. I read one of those collections of excerpts from commencement addresses that periodically show up in magazines in the summertime. Well, all of the excerpts were certainly good, and it would have been interesting to hear the entire speech or read the entire speech. What little I did read of this speech had my attention immediately. The speech was given by Jonathan Franzen at Kenyon College. And although he was talking about how technology and consumerism have combined to sell the notion of erotic love and friendship, I couldn't help but think of how applicable some of his comments were to the way some of us relate to our pets, and particularly our dogs. Because what he was talking about is how consumerism and technology create a fantasy relationship to which we limit only those who mirror our own beliefs and interests, and where if they say something we don't like, we just unfriend them. But if you think the idea of belief in a fantasy love relationship with another person, it's all sanitized and all ups and no downs, and if there are downs, there's something wrong with it, and so we just divest ourselves of it. We just unfriend them. How does this apply to companion animals, and especially dogs? Well, one of the ways that animals, companion animals, have been consumerized is that some have sold the fantasy of their presence in our lives as our reference point. No matter how lousy life treats us, we can count on them to act as an emotional and sometimes even a physical buffer between us and that harsh reality called life. Now, what's interesting about this techno-commercialization of dogs is that unlike people, who most of us acknowledge, at least somewhere in the back of our minds, that they do have minds of their own, and that they may say something that we don't want to hear, and we can't just shut them off. True, we can turn the computer off, we can turn the iPhone, the iPad, the BlackBerry, we can turn all those devices off, but we can't turn that person off. And we can't turn off the thoughts in our head either. But we expect our pets not to have that effect on us. That's part of the fantasy. They're supposed to do what we want them to do. It wasn't always like this. And I think that's probably one aspect of this that disturbs me the most. Some people have gotten the impression that that's why God created companion animals, to function this way for us. The big thing now in parenting literature is to ensure that kids have electronic-free periods. And one of the reasons for this isn't that anybody believes that technology is evil. And I certainly don't believe that technology is evil, no matter how frustrated my dial-up connection makes me. But one of the things that happens is that it's so easy to get caught up in a fantasy universe in which we have total control, that we can hop from reality to reality, and all of the realities please us. If they don't, they're gone. They're gone with a click. And the faster the connection, the faster they disappear, and the more quickly we can replace them. And when a child is constantly exposed to that, it's kind of like the electronic version of instant gratification. You can create a world where everyone does what you like, everyone's your friend. Shut the computer off and go outside and get caught up in a pickup game of hopscotch or softball with your friends, and that's not quite the case. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. Sometimes your friend doesn't pitch so well and you get hit by the ball. And it hurts and you cry. And other times you accidentally hit them and that hurts you almost as much. And you can't turn it off. You can't click and make it go away. And so it is with our animals too. Sometimes we hurt them. And when we do, whether it's behaviorally or physically, we can't turn it off. We can't click it and make it go away. It can be a rude awakening, especially all the responsibility that goes with it. And yet, on the other hand, to me, it's the difference between watching a movie, somebody else's vision of reality, and being part of the real world. Sure, it's scary, because nobody sees that world the same way we do. We can't stop it. We can't keep it from changing. We can't control it. And if there's one thing I've learned from living all these years, if you want to learn self-control, the first most important step is to give up the need to control others. And I can't think of a better place to do that than having a quality relationship with an animal. This doesn't mean that the animal has no training and is allowed to run willy-nilly and do whatever the animal wants to do. What it means is we set them up to succeed, we set them up to choose, we set them up to learn self-control. But you know, the real tough part of allowing anyone else to learn self-control, it takes us back to this fantasy idea of love. If we give others the right, if we give them the freedom to learn self-control, what that means is that we have to trust the love. It's constantly moving, constantly changing. Never the same for them as it is for us. We've got to learn to trust that. That's scary, isn't it? It's a lot easier to live in a click-and-change world. But once you get used to it, and admittedly at first it's like flying without a net, it's worth it. I wouldn't trade it for anything.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.